I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Now, let me talk to you for a few minutes about being born again. Amen. So the topic is things that are not the same as being born again. Things that are not the same as being born again. Sometimes when you want to understand something, the best way to understand it is by looking at what it is not. Do you see? And when you start eliminating what it is not, whatever is left is what it is. You get it, right? So, John chapter 3 is the book and chapter where we find this term, born again. You know, and born again is a term that Jesus Christ himself used. He's the one who introduced that term, and he did have something in mind. What's going on with the verses, please? It's so slow now. Is the computer a problem? They're training. Oh, can you train after service, please? Can you please train after service? But the problem is, who's going to bring verses after service? Who's going to bring verses after service? Okay, so let's have some verses. All the verses we read today, which is only this one, by the way. We're only going to read one. Do you see? So we're going to read the verse. But can we do this after church, please? So that we you know, come up with a list. And then, Kawi, I think you are the trainer. Come up with a list of verses. And you mention, then it's prop. You get it. You mention, and then she looks for it. You mention, she looks for it like that for about 10, 15 minutes. Training over. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. So let's start from verse 1. It says there was a man. Let's do it from the other one. King James, please. Yes. Excellent. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You know, there are things that you easily recognize as being supernatural. No one can do this. If anybody's doing this, it must be God. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, so Nicodemus was in awe of Jesus like that. And he came to him by night and asked this question, right? Now, let's all read together from verse 3. Everybody, let's go. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Right? Verse 4. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Right? Then the next one, verse 6. That which is born, we're reading all the way up to verse 20. Okay, so let's go. that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So Jesus must be serious about this born again thing, because he keeps repeating it. You see, he keeps telling the man, look, born again. You get it, right? Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Verse 8, let's go, everybody. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And Moses, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. This right here is one of the reasons why people don't go to church. Do you see? Read it again. You know, can you change the verse, the version, please? Just change it on this one, and we'll continue from that version to the end. Okay, let's go. NLT, yes. Says, all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear that their sins will be exposed. Let's read it again. 1, 2, 3, go. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Right? Next one. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Hallelujah. All right. So, as we're saying, Jesus is the one who introduced the subject of being born again. Amen. So it's not some Christian terminology that describes a certain sect of Christianity, as some would like us to believe, or some make us out to be a kind of sect. It's a brand of Christianity. You get it? There are no brands in Christianity. There is just Christianity. There's just following Jesus Christ. Do you get it? And the proper way to become a follower of Jesus Christ is the prescription, by following the prescription that he gave. Jesus is the one. Jesus, not some Pharisee, or not Nicodemus, or Nick. Do you see what I'm saying? He's not the one that brought the idea. Jesus is the one who said, what it takes to enter into the kingdom of God is to be born again. Do you see? And rightfully so, Nicodemus asked him a question. What are you talking about? That you mean a person who is born and grown up will enter back into his mother's womb and be born? Then Jesus said, no, you don't get it. I'm talking about being born of water and of the Spirit. Then, as Nicodemus must have been looking at him and looking baffled, then he continues and says, marvel not. You get it? Marvel not. Do not be surprised. Can you give us the NLT for the marvel not part so that we can see how marvelous the whole situation was? Right? Except a man be born again. Can you give verse 4? Verse 4 is okay. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And then verse 5. Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Do you see? And the next verse, verse 5. Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. And then verse 6, humans can only reproduce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Hallelujah. Yeah. So he was explaining to Nicodemus that the term born again, it does not refer to that human experience that has already produced the human life. Do you understand? But we're talking about an experience that produces a second birth, and this time is the birth of the spiritual life. Can I have an amen? So once we say somebody is born again, you of course don't mean that the person has been born again, as in become a baby again. That's not possible. You get it? Once you come out, there's no going back into... do you see? Yeah, there are some things like that. Once you exit, that's it. You see the thing? There's no going back. It's like coming out of the airport. Once you come out of that place, I tell you, you can never go back. You get it? Yes. That's how it is. You see? So... to be born again means that you would have had that experience. Do you see? The experience of the rebirth of your spirit. Do you get it? The rebirth of the spirit. And that's what makes someone born again. And this is Jesus Christ saying this. Do you get it? Yes. That's what it takes to enter into the kingdom of God according to the kingdom. In fact, there's one of the verses along the way which explains, he says that he is from heaven and he's telling us these things. Which verse was that? Let me, John chapter 3. There's one of the verses, it says, I'm the one who came down from heaven and I'm telling you this. Can you find the cowie? Right? He says, I came from heaven and I'm telling you this. Where is it? John 3:13. Yes, let's start from verse 12. He said, I have told you earthly things. I've told you earthly things and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Then verse 13. He says, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of God, which is in heaven. You get it? So you don't know the heaven things. do you get it? Yes. Go back to verse 12. Verse 12. I have told you earthly things and you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? I'm talking about being born again. You understand born? Reborn. I'm talking about born and you are looking at me like this. You don't understand what I'm saying. Then if I start telling you heavenly things, what are you going to do? Then he goes to verse 13. Where's verse 13? He says, no man, because none of you has come up there before. You get it? Yes. So you can't sit here on earth and imagine what it takes to come there. Do you see the thing? He says, he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. You see, he is the only one who knows what is in heaven, who has come from heaven. And he has come, what's in verse 14? Verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Do you see? And verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. So Jesus is the one who came from heaven, and we must respect him when he tells us what it takes to enter into that kingdom. And he's saying that to come into that kingdom, man, to enter heaven, except you are born again, you cannot enter. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. By this time, you see, Nicodemus is not asking any more questions because the thing has become serious. And he realizes he better listen to the man that has come from heaven, who is telling us what it takes to get there. So if you want to go to heaven, then the requirement, according to Jesus Christ, is to be born again, whatever it means. Do you see? Whatever it means, at least agree that Jesus said that's what you need. Do you see? You must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. So over the years, in the course of the practice of religion, people have developed substitutes for being born again. Do you see? And so there are so many things that people do and practice in lieu of being born again. Do you see the thing? It's instead of going after the born again experience, which Jesus said is spiritual. It's an experience that involves the rebirth of the inner man. Do you get it? Yes. He said that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And I am asking that except a man is born of the second one, he cannot enter into heaven. Do you see? Yes, according to Jesus Christ. And so he explains that to Nicodemus, and he goes on to explain how that it involves believing in him. Do you see? Moses lifted up a serpent that was biting the people of Israel that God had released to them because they were disobedient. Do you see? God doesn't like people who complain. So as they were complaining, he released this serpent to bite them. And then when they said, okay, it's enough. Then God showed Moses a way to deliver them from that thing. He said, use some of the serpent. That's how the history of vaccines. You take some of the virus and you use it to make the thing that kills it. That was how God gave the clue, the wisdom for making vaccines. So he said Moses should take a serpent, and then he lifted up the serpent on a pole, and those who look at the serpent were delivered from it. Do you get it? Yes. And so Jesus refers to that experience. He said that just as Moses did that and it brought salvation and healing to the people physically, so must this Son of Man who has come from heaven, he must also be lifted up like that. That means people must look up to Jesus for salvation if they want to be delivered from hell. Amen. So look, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, right? That verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Do you see? Yes. In those days, if you were one of those dying from the serpents, you had to look up to. All you didn't have to touch it. All you had to do was to look up in faith at the serpent on the pole. And so long as you made contact with your eyes, saw that serpent on the pole, you were saved and delivered from death. And Jesus said, that same way, people have to now lift up their eyes in faith and look at Jesus Christ. And when you do that in faith, he says, you believe in him and you should not perish, but you will have eternal life. Amen. Then verse 16, which is the popular one, explains this is why. He says this: for God so loved the world. God doesn't want anybody to perish. Do you see? That he has given his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then in 17, he says, because God sent his son into the world, not to condemn. My purpose, my mission here is not to make you feel bad. My mission here is not to condemn you. My mission here is not to condemn the world, but rather that the world through me will be saved. It's amazing how the world puts up a defense when you start to teach them or you start to talk about salvation. They block the salvation by pleading condemnation. They say, you are trying to condemn me. But Jesus is saying, no, I'm not condemning you. I'm saving you, exactly. It's just that sometimes people don't even know that. For example, if you were to be encouraged to look up to the serpent, you first have to believe you are one of those who's been bitten by the serpent. So I need to look at your body or on your skin somewhere on it and tell you that this is a serpent bite. That this pole that has gone up is for people like you. Do you get it? But people take that to mean condemnation. Say, don't judge me. Don't condemn me. So you find that people don't receive the gospel like they should because they feel that they are being condemned. But no, Jesus said, no, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came rather that through me, the world will be saved. Do you understand? And then from there, he goes on to verse 18 and he says, what's verse 18? He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. That means, I'm not, it's not because I pointed out your snake bite that your death has begun. Even if I didn't come here, you would die anyway. You see, my preaching is not the introduction of the snake bite. I'm not the one coming to bring the snake to bite you. The snake has bitten you already. So I came to point out that snake bite and to show you where to look to for salvation. So don't call me the condemner. Don't call me the judge. Don't say that I have come to condemn you. No. He that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son, because he didn't believe in the serpent that was lifted up. When they lifted up the serpent, he didn't think it was worth looking at it. So your fate is sealed already, even before Jesus showed up. So rather, he's saying, I came so that you would have life. I came so that you can see and escape the effect of that serpent. Are you understanding what I've shared with you? So that's why Jesus came. And when we go out and we're preaching Jesus and evangelizing and sharing Jesus, this is the message that we have. You get it? We're not pointing people's sins out to them. That's not our mission. You get it? Yes, we're not telling people that they are sinners for the sake of letting them know that we are sinners or that we are better than them. No, there's nothing like that. But the reality is that whether we go there or not, they are condemned already for not believing in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Yes. Anybody who refuses to address the treatment will suffer the effect of the disease. That is it. And they don't need a doctor to tell them that. You, in the privacy of your room, in your place, right there, if you have the disease, you will suffer from it already. So he came not to bring the disease, but to be the answer to the disease. Do you see? Yes. The discussion about the disease only comes up for identification. So we know who must look at the serpent. And that's what makes us talk about the disease. That's what makes us talk about sin. Can I have another amen? Right? So what are some of the things that are not the same as being born again? Number one thing which is not the same as being born again is admiring miracles. Right? Yes. Admiring miracles. Because Nicodemus admired miracles, isn't it? He came to Jesus and he started speaking in this way. He said, good teacher. Can you bring Nicodemus back, please? He comes to Jesus and he says, good teacher, we know that you have come from God and that no one can do these things except God be with him. Do you see? No one can do these miracles. If you switch the NLT, please. It says, the same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, yes, after dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Right? To that comment, Jesus responds in verse 3. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you get it? So Jesus was telling him that, look, this comment you made, I appreciate it. But don't take that to mean that you are in the kingdom. You are not in the kingdom just by merely admiring the good works of a man of God. There are many people who have great sympathy towards the work of God and people who are doing great works of God. There are many people who admire churches, they admire men of God, they admire our prophets, they admire miracles. They recognize that God is doing something great. Do you get it? There are many people who talk about our church. Oh, that's a beautiful church, that's a good church, you know. They are everywhere. If you go to any place, you find a church there. And people admire such things. And for them, or for a lot of them, they feel that it is proof that God is with us. Do you see? That if God was not with us, we wouldn't be able to do something like that. Do you get it? They are right. They are right. But that's not a substitute for being born again. That's what Jesus was trying to tell Nicodemus. That, look, thank you for your compliment. And thank you for, admiring the works that I have done. I'm glad that God has opened your eyes to see that what is happening is supernatural. However, let me tell you the truth. This comment will not buy you a spot in heaven. You need to be born again. Do you see? It must have been a shocker, isn't it? Yes. So when someone says, nice church, nice music, I was just blessed as I was walking in and I saw Eden. I said, church is back. Yeah. They said, nice music, great, but it's not the same as being born again. Do you get it? Yes. So when you find that these days in our churches we have substituted nice music, once the church is jamming and the music is good, there's even no need for an altar call. I mean, the music is so good that there's no need for an altar call. There's no need for an invitation. There's no need to give anybody an opportunity to give their lives to Christ. What? Because the music, let me check out the rich music. Do you get it? Yes, it's like we have arrived in heaven already. Heaven has come into the church. Why are we even wasting time telling anybody to be saved? Do you see? Yes. You get it? You see? They're singing the song and the emotion sometimes that goes with such church singing. You know, you can feel, you feel Jesus in the place. So much so that there's no need to be born again. No. Jesus said, no, no, no. Those things are not the same as being born again. Hallelujah. Number two, befriending men of God. Just like Nicodemus came to see Jesus, it's not the same as being born again. Having a relationship with the man of God is not the same as being born again, isn't it? Because Nicodemus had come to see Jesus after dark. I mean, only few people can see Jesus after dark. Even daytime, it's not easy to see him. Do you get it? Yes. So for him to come and see him and to have that kind of access means he was significant. You see? Yes. But Jesus told him, you're welcome. It's good you're here. But let me tell you that the fact that you could speak to me is not a substitute for coming or claiming to be born again. You don't enter the kingdom by entering my tent. Do you see? The fact that you have come into my living room doesn't mean this living room is not the kingdom of God. Do you see? You need to be born again. You need to be born again. So being related to the man of God, or being related to a pastor, or having pastors for friends, do you get it? Or being a descendant of a long line of pastors, or marrying one, it's not the same as being born again. It's not the same as being born again. Do you see? Yes, it's not the same as being born again. Right. And Jesus wanted to Nicodemus to be clear, isn't it? Next one, sending money to God or giving money to the church is not the same as being born again. Right. Now, there are some people who do not go to church, but they support church things. Yes. Even when I was a kid, I had some relatives where if you went to tell them you were on your way to church, they would give you a little money to put in the offering on their behalf, most of which ended up buying ice cream and things like that. You see, when God asks you for money now, you should try to make sure you give your offerings because you owe God. Because some of us have spent God's money, little monies that somebody was trying to give to God as a substitute for being born again. Even that one, he didn't get that. You get it? Yes. But that's exactly the point, that even the money never made it to the church. If it had made it, you would still not be born again. So as the money didn't make it to the church, you are nowhere near being born again. For sure, you are still in your sins. Do you get it? So giving money to the church, there are people who support, sometimes businesses, sometimes companies, just out of their goodwill, they try to support and help church things. But it is not the same as being born again. Amen? Then the next one, number four, is joining a church. All right? Joining a church is not the same as being born again. And number five, joining a denomination is not the same as being born again. Again, do you see? Joining a church is not the same as being born again. You know, joining a church these days requires just frequent attendance. Come again, come again, come again. That's my church. Do you see? Or in some cases, there's a registration process, which is filling some forms, maybe even attending a membership class, you know. But it's not the same as being born again. Do you get it? And then joining a denomination or being born into a denomination is also not the same as being born again. Do you get it? There are many people, when you ask them, are you born again? They say, I'm Catholic. Or I am Methodist. Or I am Baptist or Presbyterian. Or I go to Lighthouse. Oh, do you see what I'm saying? Or I'm QFC or something like that. Do you get it? Yes. Some people flaunt their affiliation with a church, you see, and they present that as a wall so that you don't go past it. You get it? Especially the ones that link themselves to the older established denominations, because those are real symbols of Christianity. They have now become institutions that represent the worship of God and have done so for many years. So when someone says, I am this, and sometimes they add the word staunch. Do you get it? Once they add the word staunch, means they are cemented into it. Do you understand? Yes. So then that's the wall is defined. So I don't need to be born again. Do you get it? But again, it's a different thing. You can join the church, you can join our church, and that's the reason why we make an altar call every Sunday and give people a chance to give their lives to Christ so that you can be born again. Because coming to church is not what makes someone enter the kingdom. Do you see what I'm saying? You don't enter the kingdom by going to church regularly. No. Yes. Church people or kingdom people go to church, but going to church does not put you in the kingdom. Do you see what I'm saying? Going to church does not put you in the kingdom. No. Otherwise, Nicodemus would have been born again. He was a Pharisee. Yes, he was a Pharisee, like a religious leader at the higher levels. So much so that Jesus was even surprised. Jesus asked him, are you a ruler of the Jews and you don't know these things? What a shock. Where are your certificates? Do you see? Yes. So Jesus was totally surprised to meet someone at his level who didn't understand some of these things. But it is possible because the entry into the church and even rising up in the church is through a different door. And coming into the kingdom is a totally different thing. It's spiritual. So you can be a church, you can even be a deacon in the church. I've been in a service before with Prophet somewhere in some church where he preached. And when he preached, the people gave their lives to Christ, even from the choir. In their robes. Do you see? They understood that, look, we may be singing here, but we better be born again. do you get it? Yes. Because singing in the church by itself cannot make someone born again. It's words that are given to you that you're repeating. That's a different process from being born again. Do you understand? That's if you even remember the words and are singing and are singing the right ones. Do you get it? Yes. Because singers, they think we don't know. Sometimes the song is live, it's being made. It's a hibachi song. You get it. But we are blessed nevertheless. So we are enjoying it. God bless all our singers and all these wonderful people who keep And Tarter, you really sounded very good today, I tell you. Very good. Very good, yes. Right? Yeah. So joining a church is not the same as being born again. Hallelujah. And the larger the church, the more likely there are people there who are not born again. Yes, all the way up. Do you get it? Yes. So it's important that we make sure the people are born again. Number six, praying every day is not the same as being born again, right? Lots of unbelievers pray every day, you know. Even people who are going to do very bad things, they pray. Yeah, they make the sign of the cross. Yes. You know, just before they break into your window, they just stand and then they just spy. You know, then they make the sign of the cross. Break, smash your window. You know, so praying every day is not the same as being born again. Number seven is being respectable. Being respectable, like professionals, you know, doctors, congressmen, you know. Sometimes professionals, you know, they look so principled and put together, they look born again. Yeah, especially people who wear a suit. Yes, when people wear a suit and they speak a certain way, they look like they don't need to be born again. You see, but it's not the same. Do you get it? Yes, it's not the same as coming into contact with Christ. Do you see? And Christ changing our hearts. The Bible says he will give us a new heart. Do you see? Yes, he will replace the heart of stone with a new heart. Number eight, saying Christian jargon. Right? Christian, like forgive. Right? Mercy. You see, once you join yourself to the group for a little bit, you just start saying the same things. It's not the same as being born again. Number nine, reading the Bible is not the same as being born again. Reading the Bible is not the same as being born again. People read the Bible sometimes for fun, you know, sometimes to study as a subject. And then sometimes people read the Bible. I remember when the movie, what's the movie? The Passion. You know, after the Passion movie was released, and because it was such a hit, I remember watching an interview where somebody was asking whether there are any other nice stories in the Bible like that can become a hit. Yeah. So that can send a lot of people going to the Bible in search for stories. Yes. You get it? Stories that can make a good movie. You see, where you can become a millionaire, but not because you're looking for God. Right? Number 10 is the last one for today, which is having good morals. Right? Having good morals is not the same as being born again. Amen. Number 11, if you like, is being baptized. Being baptized is not the same as being born again. Being baptized is supposed to follow being born again. Do you understand? Yeah. And closely related to that is another thing called being confirmed. Do you get it? Now, what would happen is that people get baptized as little children. Do you see? And that's why in our church we dedicate little children rather than baptize them. Because people want a way of, if maybe I can just think of like baptism of infants who will later on be confirmed. It's like, let the person grow up. When he grows up, then we have a confirmation ceremony where they confess the things they should have confessed before they were baptized. Right, so the baptism was more like to put a hold on them. It's like a layaway program for Christianity. You get it? That you put the person on layaway so that, my hand is on him for the Lord. So when the person grows up, the person will finally now make the decision. And when they do, we confirm or finish up the process that began when he was an infant. Are you getting the picture? Yes. So that's why people are baptized as infants. You you sort of make them Christian. You know, you just try and, you know, and I can understand it. You know, if you're a parent, you want your child to be raised in a certain way. You introduce them to Christianity and introduce them to the way of the Lord, and then you hope that they will stay on it as they grow up. Are you getting it? Yes. But because it's not the same as being born again, it means the person is not changed inside. You get it? And that's why invariably you find that most people who are doing very bad things have been baptized as infants. But because baptism is not the same as being born again, they were not changed. They were not born again. It was not very different from being wet in the rain. It's like being wet in the rain with prayer. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes, it's not very different because it's a purely external thing. Baptism is supposed to symbolize, that's why it's by immersion. Do you see? Yes, and when people are infants, you can't baptize them in that way. You put them in danger. So I think that's where the whole idea of sprinkling water came from, because now you needed a symbolic version of it so that, okay, we won't put you in the water, but we will just put a little water on you so that, you know, that seems to mean that it's about maybe the wetness, because that's all you get. But what baptism is saying is that I'm dead to myself. My old self is dead and buried. Do you see? Now, if we bury you literally in the ground with dirt and all that, you won't come back. And since we're not trying to kill you, we put you in something like water. And you go down and you come back to say, the old man perished. He died. He stayed in the water. The one that rose up is the new man. You are now a new person. Are you getting it? So baptism is the symbol of what has happened to somebody. But like all other things that are supposed to be symbolic, people can do them who have not done what they mean. Like you can meet someone who is wearing a ring on this finger who is not married. Do you see what I'm saying? So the person will be wearing the ring, you know, and just flashing it around, but they have not actually done what it means. Do you see? In the same way, you can be baptized, you see, and you have fulfilled the symbol, but you have not actually done what you are symbolizing, which is that you are not born again. But ladies and gentlemen, this is all the time will allow. So we'll continue next time. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Amen. I think it's an interesting subject, isn't it? Yes. It's important that we make sure we are born again. Amen. Now, how many of you here are sure you are born again? Raise up your hand. Let me see. How many of you here are sure you are born again? Okay. How many of you are not sure you are born again? Raise up your hand. Let me see. Right. Right. Is there anyone who is not sure? DJ, you're not sure. All right. DJ, I'm going to lead you in a prayer so you can be sure after today that you're born again. Okay? Come to me. Come. Just walk up here. Yeah. Yeah. Come and let's pray together and let's make sure that we are born again. Amen. All right. So let's close our eyes, everybody, and let's say this prayer together. Right. DJ, you understand what I explained, isn't it? That when you're born again, it is not an outward experience. You don't change because you're born again. You obviously can't fit back into your mother. Definitely not you. Do you see? If anybody else could, maybe, but not you. Do you see? So it's not an outer experience. It is something that's going to take place in your spirit, where you look up to Christ in faith. In faith means believing that Jesus died for my sins, and by inviting him into my life, he comes in, he saves me from my sin, and that's how I become born again. Do you understand? So that's the prayer we're going to pray. And so I want you to pray that prayer with me. Everybody, let's join together with DJ as we say this prayer together. Say with me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I understand that I am a sinner.
I understand that I am a sinner.
And therefore, I need to be born again.
And therefore, I need to be born again.
Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Only you have the answer to my sins.
Only you have the answer to my sins.
So please come into my life.
So please come into my
life. I invite you as my Lord.
I invite you as my Lord.
And as my personal Savior.
And as my personal Savior.
Please forgive my sins.
Please forgive my sins.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash me.
Change me from within.
Change me from within.
And make me a child of God.
And make me a child of God.
Make me a new person.
Make me a new person.
And make me born again.
And make me born again.
Make me into a born again Christian.
Make me into a born again.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For changing my life.
For changing my life.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together. Right. Now, so this prayer you said, if you said it with faith, as in you said it believing that Jesus is the only true Savior of the world, then you are born again.
Amen.
Do you get it? Yes. It means a process of change from the inside has begun. Do you get it? And you will never again be the same. Amen. So God bless you. All right. Woo! Pastor Munene will talk to you after church and tell you more about this. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you blessed?
Yeah, blessed?
Are you glad you came to church?
Glad you came
Are you glad Jesus died for us? Woo! Amen. Woo!